It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than Daddy dressing up like Hitler.
Yeah, you're actually listening to Davin's Den.
Anyway, you can join the chat room by going to the Den Pen, going to davinsden.com, and clicking on air. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont, joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip.
Hey.
Joe is out tonight.
Yes. On
the show, old friend and host of the Joe Padula Show, I'll be calling him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm very excited about that.
I am.
Get the tarp.
Yes.
Get the tarp.
Joe Padula.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Pex.
The other thing would be better is if he was in studio.
Yes.
Yes. What is it doing?
It sounds weird, right?
Yeah, it does. Shut that off. I think it's just like...
Shut that off. That's weird.
I think it had too much coffee.
It might have. Anyway. So Joe Padula is going to call in. Look forward to talking to Joe. A psychology study reveals why Donald Trump has his supporters. as I alluded to, a father dresses his five-year-old son like Hitler. School of Fools is teachers dressed like the wall in Mexicans.
Jesus Christ.
A teacher and a student brawl, full-out fist fight. See that video?
Yes.
A student's murdered in school, but the school day continues.
Hmm.
Comics in the news as the military issues an apology, thanks to Hasan Minhaj.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete Davidson makes fun of a veteran.
Oh, lovely.
We'll see what else we can get into. So it's a full slate. Did you vote?
I did.
I voted as well.
Yes.
I did my civic duty. Now, I must say, I'm a little annoyed.
Oh, please do tell.
As I've said before, when I go to my voting place, which is an old school where a church has taken up residence,
Okay. They
leave treats.
Yeah.
They have like donuts and cookies and
nice. Juice
and chips.
Nice.
A little rewarding for my civic duty.
Yes.
Feel good. I look forward to voting because I'm going to get a donut.
Who wouldn't?
Exactly. It draws me out of the lair of the den to go forth and see the public.
Yes.
So I go around 1:30 today. Middle of the day. You know what's left?
What?
Apples and Whoppers. This is some bullshit.
Wait. Really?
Not the burger Whopper.
No. I for a second I thought, what's wrong with this? And then I realized, oh no, there's a little hard candies like
the malted chocolate candies, malt balls.
Oh well, I actually do like those, but that's kind of a sad surprise after you're expecting a donut.
Yeah, you know what? Because people are fucking doing their civic duty. You know what? It sounds real good on paper until somebody gets hurt. I was hurt.
Everybody was voted on their way to work, and they were like, that'll go in my coffee nicely.
That was bullshit.
I know.
I vote on every stupid election. The school board, you know, the local shit. I'm there.
Yeah.
I deserve my donut, my orange juice,
my
apple cider, if you will.
Yeah.
No, an apple. I snubbed the apple. I don't need apples. I got apples at home. It's bullshit. Got Whoppers, too.
You live in, like, apple orchard land.
Yeah, no, it's a bunch of horseshit. So I had to just vote and get no treat. It made me unhappy.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I was pissed off. I know we discussed this on air, but I will reiterate my objection. Years ago, they used to be able to have the bake sale in front of the school where I voted when I was in a different district. Yeah, they said that they weren't allowed to do that anymore.
Why is that?
I don't know. It was some election rule in New Jersey. I don't know about.
Can't have tasty treats by voting booth?
You know, it's like no hefties in the voting area. I don't know.
No hefties?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Is that like derogatory for fatties?
I just made it up.
Oh.
I'm just saying, you know, I don't know what their point was, but I'm like, I deserve a tasty treat.
Absolutely.
I was even willing to lay out money for these tasty treats. Homemade things made by nice, you know, moms, suburban moms, for their kids to make a couple bucks so that they could, I don't know, go on a field trip or whatever. And no, I was denied.
Speaking of bullshit,
yeah.
Brings me up. The other day, I go to the supermarket and in one of the local towns, And they got like the 8th grade or 10th grade wrestlers out there, like by the supermarket, like inside, asking for money. Not even fucking selling anything. Do you want to donate to our fuck you?
No, fuck you.
Sell some Toblerone, wash some cars, earn the money.
Right.
I mean, I'm still going to walk by you, but at least then.
No, fuck you and your onesie. You get out there and you start like doling out things.
Yeah, you do. You don't just beg for money.
No, I mean, like, look. If veterans are sitting out there and they're like, can you contribute to our cause? Yes, I'm going to put money.
These guys
in there.
Were veterans of the 7th grade.
I know. It's like, yeah, was anything flying at you that was metal? No.
So I was very so they got nothing either. Very distraught.
Yeah, no. Not.
So this is why I don't go outside. There's no tasty treats and I got kids begging for shit. There's no reason to go outside.
And it's not even Halloween.
No. Well, I got Halloween stories for you too.
Oh, good.
I got all sorts of stuff to talk about. But what? You look like
No.
So, so this happened last night. I went on a comedian's Facebook page.
Okay.
Very pro-Trump. He had something to the effect of Obama taking credit for Trump's accomplishments, but with some derogatory terms thrown in there.
Oh, man.
So, I was going to post some actual facts, but I figured these people didn't want facts. Why get into a Facebook? Well, this is false, and I'll show you. But I'm like, no.
No. That's not what he wanted.
That's not what you want. So I'm scrolling through the comments, and somebody on his page calls Obama. What do you think they called Barack Hussein Obama, our former president?
Something Hussein something?
They called him a half-breed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's ugly.
To me, this was a bridge too far.
Yeah.
That's racist right there. At first, I was going to post something, and I'm like, no, Facebook isn't the place for this. Then I was going to, like, text my friend, like, hey, by the way. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call him. So I called up my friend and go, listen, I don't know if you know this, but on your page, under one of your Obama things, Angel Lazaro posted.
Name and names.
You know what I thought about? I am naming names. I'll tell you what. I'm not going to let racists hide.
No.
Normally, I don't name names.
Right.
In this, I am not. You're posting it on Facebook. Clearly, you don't give a shit who sees it.
Right. So might as well.
So Angel Lazaro posted that President Obama is a half-breed. And my friend's like, well, I don't condone that.
He's not even Cher.
What? No, the second one who brought that reference, I had no idea about this song. I had no idea about this
that's
song.
That's where the difference in our ages really makes a big difference. That like 10 years or so.
Well, the other person was actually like a year or two younger than me.
And oh, my.
Like, yeah, 1973, Cher had the song Half-Breed and started singing it for me. I'm like, I wasn't born. I don't know. So like maybe this was a comment about Cher. Is that what you're
both
telling?
Both sides were again me since the day I was born. Yeah, it was very popular in its day.
I'm sure it was, but I don't think it was meant as a hey, remember this song?
No, it was, no, and it wasn't in the song. It was not something that she welcomed.
Oh, okay.
No, so. It wasn't like I call myself half breed. Yay!
No, I didn't know. I don't even know
the song. The townspeople would say that to her to be derogatory.
So I told him, he goes, all right, well, you know, I will take care of this. He's like, I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
So I think his way of taking care of it, was he just delete the whole post?
Well,
I don't know if he actually, confronted Angelo Lazaro.
Well,
he goes, you know, he's a comic. I go, I did not know that. I go, but guess who I won't be hiring?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, listen, I don't let politics get in the way of who I hire. I think that's pretty evident. Joe and I don't see eye to eye, and I give Joe a lot of work. And other people, and this comic in particular who I was talking with, do not see eye to eye. But, you know, I don't let a thing like politics get in the way. You know, if you want to be wrong, you have a right to be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'll still hire you. But if you're a racist.
Yeah.
If you're a racist, I don't have to put money in your pocket.
No.
And to me, President Obama half-breed, that's racist.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, look at our country now. Like, there's so many people who, you know, like, mixing races isn't a thing anymore.
Here's what people don't realize. They've become emboldened under this president.
Yeah, they do.
To quote the candidate for Florida governor when he was talking about his opposition to DeSantis, Gillum saying that DeSantis goes, I don't know if you're racist. But the racists think you're racist.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Donald Trump's racist, but the racists think Donald Trump's racist.
Right.
So they have become emboldened.
Yes.
That's why we're seeing such an increase in this and worse activity, to be honest with you. So, but here's what they don't realize. At some point, Donald Trump will retire to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Whether it's this year, 2 years, 6 years, At some point, Donald Trump is going to go home.
Yeah.
We, the rest of us, are all paying attention.
We all know what you said.
Yes. It will be your scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away. Donald Trump gets away with shit that most people do not get away with.
Yeah.
And he apparently has enough money and power to make it okay.
Yeah.
And enough. You, average racist,
yeah,
does not have that power.
The scarlet R.
Yeah, the scarlet R. So, for me, they don't understand. It's like, and for some people, they take it too far. Well, if you're this way politically, then I'm not going to talk to you or I'm not going to hire you.
No,
I'm not that.
Yeah, no.
But if you're going to be openly racist,
right,
and feel and be so comfortable,
right,
that it's okay, that you think it's okay to post this on a page where other people can see, you're not even whispering it with your friends.
No, you're not even doing the classic look both ways.
Right. You're just going to put this out there. Well, you know what? As somebody who hires comics and works with comics, I'm going to damn well fucking make sure I never put any money in your pocket, Angelo.
Yeah.
If I have something to do with it. And I will tell others, as I already did today.
Yeah.
I told another booker who I was talking to today.
Right.
And it goes, and both my friend and this guy goes, but he's Spanish. How could he do that? I don't know.
I think I've said this before. I was really surprised when my brother married a woman from El Salvador.
Was she part of a caravan?
No, she was not. She was like way ahead of her time.
She came by herself.
She did, actually. She did. She came over. She walked through most of Mexico. She actually came here illegally.
Build that wall.
Yeah.
Build that wall.
Well, my brother would agree with you now that they're ex.
Should have built a wall around his cock.
Definitely should have. However, that be that as it may, I was surprised to hear some pretty racist stuff come out of her mouth. And I guess I was being naive, thinking, well, as somebody who has been, you know, like downtrodden from the white man, you'd take up with other people.
Anybody
who
can be racist.
And yeah, I don't know what I was
like
thinking.
People say, like black people say black people can't be racist. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Have you met Farrakhan?
Yeah.
Anti-Semite. Yeah, bigot. Yeah, you can be racist.
Have you talked to Spike Lee about the infighting amongst people of different, like, shades, gradations of black skin?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, Cafe Latte is the best. I don't know what the rest of them are fucking around with. No, just kidding. No, but people are racist animals.
Yeah, they're of all stripes.
But the only one who seems to possibly get away with it, and again, I don't know if he's racist, is Donald Trump. So I don't know why these other people like feel so emboldened. And like you hear, like when they marched in Charlottesville, they were shocked after their little tiki march that they got fired, that their picture showed up. I got fired because I marched. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Because you were marching with neo-Nazis and people don't want to work with you, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Why is this news to you?
It's shocking that they're shocked. Like,
yes.
But it does show that some people are behaving in ways that they strangely don't even realize that this is not the way society behaves
anymore.
But
more and more it is the way society does behave.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're still the people came out of their caves because they did feel emboldened. They're like, oh, it's okay. Other people think like me, so it's okay for
a lot
like
of people
me.
Think like me.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you what. The fact that the last president had the audacity to be half African-American really pissed people off.
How dare he?
But it just reinforces, was I talking about this week or last week? I feel like I was talking about it on this show. That, you know, people have to own that one of the reasons Barack Obama was hated so much is because he was black. Let's just say it. Let's just own it for what he was. So I'm talking to my friend, and I go, well, this guy, Angela, is deplorable. I go, mm-hmm. Hillary was right. And he gets all upset about it. He's like, I'm not deplorable. I go, I didn't say you were deplorable. And Hillary didn't say you were deplorable. She called all Trump supporters deplorable. I go, no, she did not. She said 50% of them was deplorable. And I said at the time, that seemed a little high. that was my big, I was like, you know what, that's a little much.
Yeah, but
in retrospect, I don't know. But at the time,
I know.
But at the time, I said, you know what, you want to call some of them deplorable? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of supporters have deplorable people, but, you know.
I was shocked during Obama's presidency to be down the Jersey Shore and see, you know, like they have all the stands on the boardwalk for, you know, you play games to win prizes and such. And some of the prizes that were hanging off of their stalls were caricatures of President Obama as monkey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm like, are we below the Mason-Dixon line?
No, that's not Mason. Don't blame Southern people for that.
No, but I was like, no, I meant during the war. I was like, what the fuck?
I would call the, if I had any, if I had seen it and I had the incentive, I might have called whoever owns the stall, who operates the stall, and go, hey, by the way.
I saw it in several.
Yeah, well, I would take the picture, go, by the way, this is what's going on in your stall.
Yeah, I doubt that they would have a problem.
They might, you know.
You never, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Wow.
But I was just like, what the fuck? I mean,
the audacity of racism.
If they had done, I don't know, if it was a character of him as a donkey.
It's a Democrat then.
Yeah, it's like it's a Democrat. He's a jackass. Whatever. People have, you know, people, you know, you see like trollish kind of squeezy head dolls of Trump making fun of his hair. I took the picture
when I was in Italy.
Yeah.
Of there was an artist on the street, and I took the picture. It's on my phone. Of like Trump and like leather and SMM and like Putin whipping him, something like that. Yeah. But it's not a race.
No.
It's a social commentary.
Right. It's political commentary,
right.
Which has been a tradition in this country.
Or in Italy, apparently.
Well, yeah, but it's been a tradition for years since, you know, they had was newspaper illustrations. Political cartooning goes back, you know, hundreds of years.
Yeah, but when you're going right to monkey, that's...
No. Yeah. No. And if you can't see that that's wrong, then you really have a problem.
Yeah.
You're just really dense.
It's really hard for some people to admit to go, no, Obama's biggest flaw for a lot of people is he's black. Because when you go, what did he do so wrong?
Right.
Well, like for this, hey, I get why you wouldn't like this or that. But what was so awful? It's like the guy was bland. We had this conversation with Russ. That's right.
Right.
The guy was bland.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there were some things that he did, you know, executive orders and things that people were like, you know, I can see people taking...
You mean pre-existing conditions, which now the Republicans are saying they're fighting to keep?
Well, I'm saying, you know, like, I think that the whole idea of any president having the right to issue executive orders without having any oversight... I think I have a problem with that because I don't think that any one person should actually have that right.
Well, I mean, they won the right. They were in a campaign. We gave them that right.
I know. I don't like that.
Well,
policy.
Whenever the opposing party never likes it.
You're right.
When Obama was doing it, the Republicans hated it. When Trump's doing it, they love it, and the Democrats hate it.
I didn't necessarily like all of Obama's executive decisions.
But the only one
either.
Who's ever like really made like was Detective Dave, who was the only one who like I asked like why do people think he's anti-police?
Right.
And Detective Dave's the only one who actually had a real answer.
I know.
He said, well, when he was talking about the bad police, he said something to the effect that the police need to do better, and that pissed us off. Because, like, no, not all of us. We're out there. We're doing a good job. So it's those guys. So, and it's even more frustrating because Obama is articulate.
Yeah.
So it seems less of a mistake and more on purpose.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why he did that. I'm more inclined, because I give Obama the benefit of the doubt, to think he was just inartful.
I would tend to agree, because that really is, it doesn't seem like the way he thinks.
Right. But I understood why Detective Dave and his fellow brothers and sisters in blue who heard that felt that way. Now,
yeah.
I don't agree with it necessarily, but I understood it.
Yes.
But most people can't give you that argument. He said he was anti-cop. I go, what did he do that was anti-cop?
Right.
And they really can't give an answer. It's like they just heard it in the ether out there that he was anti-cop on whatever station they listened to, and they don't have a reason.
Well, so, we are going to do a great article story about that.
About anti-cop?
No, about that sort of thinking.
Yes. Yes, we are. But that's why I can respect somebody like Dave, who goes, well, no, this is why.
Right.
And I go, oh, okay.
If you can give me an articulate reason for why you're saying things, great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can debate it once you give me facts and I can give you facts back. Or I can say, oh, I didn't realize that was true. Let me look into that a little or
yes.
whatever. But not just, well, because, you know, Fox and Friends said so. Oh,
well, I mean,
God.
We're talking about the difference of somebody who is informed about a topic.
Right.
Has formed an opinion based on information.
Right.
And, you know, whether you agree with it or not, you can't argue the fact that at least there's something behind it.
Yes.
You know, you might go, well, that's a bunch of bullshit. But at least there's something behind it.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that.
I know. Well, it's sort of
And
like...
even some people, I'm sure, with Trump, they don't know why. Like, I think the kids, you know, they don't know, like...
They don't know why.
Like, my daughter doesn't like Trump, and I think I asked her why. So, I don't even know if she can articulate. She might have articulated one or two things.
Right.
But she hears it from her friends because it's in their ether. You know, I'm certainly
yes.
not... talking. Like her friend over right now, her dad is a pro-Trump guy, so I'm not going to talk anti-Trump stuff. That's not my place to do that.
No, to lecture the daughter so she can bring it home and he can get all riled up?
No,
that's
just
great.
To say anything derogatory.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
Because I'd be upset if somebody did that to my kid.
I remember very vividly when I was really little, and this is, I'm telling you all how old I am, everything was on the news about Watergate and Nixon, and I remember being really little and just parroting back that, you know, Nixon was a crook, that he was no good.
I feel like adults do that now.
Mm.
I honestly feel like they just parrot back what they hear.
That's what
I'm saying. Yeah, but it's one thing when you're a kid.
Yeah, I really had no basis in this except things that I was overhearing.
Right.
But I remember the guy at our deli, Mr. Bardell. Mr. Bardell was not having it.
Look at you naming names.
And he got, well, this man is long past. Henry was a really nice old man. And I never had a stern word from him except for this one time. And he's not totally, but he kind of like got hot under the collar and he said, you know, you don't know, understand everything that man did. He also opened up China. And, you know, I was like, wow, okay, you feel very strongly about this. I don't know what you're talking about, mister, but I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry I insulted your friend Dick.
Your friend Dick.
But you know, I mean, I was really little, so it's not like he could have.
Yeah, I don't know why he's screaming at a little kid.
Yeah, to have like a nuanced political opinion.
Yeah, it's a little much. There's a time and a place.
Yeah, it was. I think that maybe he just, you know, was having a bad day or whatever. But yeah, there's a time and a place, and it's like, I don't know how old I was. Was I six, maybe? I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about.
Don't know what you're talking about now.
No, really, pretty much no. But I was like, I thought that everybody thought that.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you surround yourself with that.
With the echo chamber.
Yeah, I don't like I don't like the echo chamber.
No, I don't. I admit I am not one. I am certainly not as much as you are one for getting on like Facebook, social media, and arguing politics with people. I just don't care to argue that much.
I'm tired of arguing the same things over and over again.
Right.
Where I'll just go, I'm not arguing this with you.
Yeah.
Well, we've done it. I'm going to argue with people that actually have experience in it. I'm not arguing with you and your talking points. I'm just not doing it.
No. Or having the same argument over and over again and like, getting nowhere.
I'm not doing it.
Same points, you know. You know, sometimes, I mean, Mr. Hillick sometimes gets bothered about whatever the issue du jour is on the news or something will remind him of a past unsavory thing that happened. And so he will start, you know, going into it. And not that we won't discuss politics, and we are on the same page at home, but he's just like, he gets into this fervor. And sometimes by the end of the day, especially if I've been doing the show and I get home and he wants to discuss politics, I'm like, dude, 3 hours of it. I'm so done.
Why doesn't he just call in?
Well, he's doing his own show.
Yeah, the whole 3 hours.
No, but I mean.
He should just call in, yell at Joe.
Well, then he, no, then he goes home and he wants to relax from it, but he's all revved up again by the time I get home.
No, I
have a
it.
Commute.
I get it. I don't usually engage in politics with the family too much.
No, I mean, we do discuss it, but usually it boils down to us both going how disgusted we are.
Yeah, it gets kind of boring.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, what are we going to do about it?
All right. So, so in school, my daughter's science class, the kids were broken into groups.
Uh-huh.
So my daughter was in the one group that figured out the answers to what the class was working on. Apparently, she was in the only group that did it. What's the matter?
Oh, sorry. No, I was just glancing at the Tom is in the
Tom
is in the chat room, and so I was just chatting with him.
Oh, okay. So anyway, my daughter was in the one group that figured out the answers to class. So a boy in class didn't know the answer, so the teacher said to get the answers from a classmate. So this boy asked everyone in my daughter's group to give, but they wouldn't give him the answer. So the boy comes to my daughter. He's like, "Will you give me the answer?" She's like, "What do you give me for it?" That's what she said. The boy said $5.
What?
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
$5 for the answer?
She gave him the answer. Next day, he came in with the $5.
Damn.
I was very proud of my daughter.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you know what? This is capitalism. You should get paid for your knowledge.
You know what? Yeah.
I was very proud. Now, then I realized how far advanced she was over me.
And me.
Kids working on a whole different level, because in college, in political science, I'm sitting in the back row and all the baseball teams sitting in the back row too. And I was friendly with those guys.
Yeah.
They didn't know the answers. I gave them the answers for free.
You know what? I gave Frank Huth all of my
math answers. We are just naming names.
We are naming names. I'm dropping some knowledge. Frank Huth, you know who you are. I just, because I think that was fourth grade, we were sat with two little desks pushed together. And so he was kind of like my classmate. And so he
did, little desk mate.
He was my desk mate. And so we were sitting there, and a lot of times in math, I am no super genius at math, trust me. Not even in fourth grade at that level. But I was
considering the day program.
I was I know, really.
That's comforting.
I know, it's painful. It's painful every fucking
day.
That
explains some issues.
Oh yeah. It's climbing up at Sisyphus every day.
It's like when Joe stumbles over words and he yells at himself, he's like, I talk for a living. You're kind of the same way with your day program.
I know. Listen, if it wasn't for an adding machine and a computer, I would be lost.
There
lost.
Is something to be said for having a weakness and launching headlong into a career with it.
No, you know, no, I stumbled into it and fell, and I said, oh, I can't get out of this hole now.
See, I'm the opposite. you know, I suck at math, so my response is, you do it. I won't even figure out tips.
Yeah, but no, I won't either. I hand it to somebody else.
Just tell me what I owe you. Just tell me.
But I have friends who are more mathy than I am, so they don't mind doing the tip thing. And they also have fancy little phones with things, gizmos that help them. I just go, what's this? Double it. Okay, there's your tip. I don't know.
So Frank Huth.
Yeah, so Frank Huth didn't always know the answers. So I would slide my paper a little bit closer to his desk. I wasn't asking for anything.
No.
Except for his eternal loyalty.
No, but goodness of your heart, my kid's not operating on that level.
I know.
She is not operating on just being nice. So the wife was a little upset about that. She's like, well, was he a nice boy? She's like, yeah. My daughter's like, yeah, he's a nice boy. So then my wife felt a little worse about it. I'm like, oh, I guess you could split the difference, give him $2.50 back.
I know. It was like a nice boy. Well, you could, but be.
And this is why we were trick-or-treating that I learned this. So I think like another parent was like shocked about how so proud I was.
Yeah, it is an odd.
It was another father, too. But
it's an odd reaction.
Is it? I don't know if it is.
Yeah, because you're supposed to say, no, you're not supposed to cheat. That's cheating.
No, it's not cheating.
Oh, it is.
The teacher told the little boy to get the answers from a classmate.
Oh, okay.
Not cheating.
Oh, okay, no. Then I'm sorry, I skipped over that in my head.
What I did in college was cheating.
Yeah. No, what I did with Frank Huth was cheating.
My daughter, I hadn't even, so on that level, I guess my daughter's better than me.
So
maybe she's even more moralistic. Like, I would just give it out of the kindness of my heart.
I know. I was just like, oh, this poor bastard. And I would slide him the paper. But you know what? I don't think I'd say it'll cost you $5.
Good for her.
Yeah, you know what?
That's
enterprising, and she wasn't doing anything wrong. Bonus.
Start the college fund, baby.
Yeah, really?
She didn't even negotiate. She probably could have gotten more. But this kid's such a good little boy. He came in the next day with the $5.
I know.
Well, was he afraid that, like, because my daughter's a black belt, like, she's going to break his legs?
Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
the money? Little Godfather music plays. So I was very proud of my daughter.
I think that you should have been. Now, all things considered, yes, absolutely.
She's cold-blooded, though.
I mean, that's not the first thing that would occur to me. So that is kind of a Slytherin of her.
Yes. That is Slytherin of her.
I know she's into Harry Potter, but which house does she believe
what's the blue one? Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw.
Yes.
Really?
All Ravenclaw stuff.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Ravenclaw stuff, whatever that month.
Interesting. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But Slytherin's
enough.
The bad one.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's very. I just know the polarized Gryffindor, which is supposed to be the Harry Potter's and his pal's house, and Slytherin is, you know, that little blonde fuck. What is his name?
I don't know.
You know.
And then there's Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff, which never really got a lot of play in the movies or the books. It's just
they exist. I feel like that should be the move that leads to the snuff and the snuff film.
Hufflepuff
like
snuff film?
Like I feel like you're doing it with the chick, and then you put her in the old Hufflepuff, and she's dead. I feel like that it's like Hufflepuff snuff. I feel like that should be something.
To me, Hufflepuff sounds like a pastry, but that's how my head
goes. It does. I mean, it sounds delicious.
It sounds like a delicious pastry.
But yeah, Hufflepuff snuff film.
Hufflepuff snuff.
Yeah, like she's having a good time. Next thing you know, you like do some like weird submission move to her, where like you know you just choke her out and she's dead.
Wow, you know how much thought have you put on this?
Just now,
Malfoy. Thank you, Tom. Malfoy, that's the little miserable fucking Slytherin. Oh, I wanted to hurt that kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're right, Falcon.
He always had this smug little look on his face.
You're right, Falcon.
What was
you
that?
That was that.
Yeah, he's a smug little bastard. I wanted to wipe that smug face off of him.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, I did.
You know what would have solved the problem? A little Hufflepuff.
Oh, hey! Right out. Come here, Malfoy. I'm going to Hufflepuff snuff you.
Like, I feel like you should be, like, doing the chick, and then you, like, work behind her in, like, some reverse move, and you choke her out. And that's how. I've never seen a snuff film, but I imagine that would be a good way. While wearing Harry Potter clothes, of course.
I suddenly remembered an appointment I have. I got to go.
I've never seen a snuff film.
Nor should you.
They're real, though, right?
I think they're real. Yeah. I think that
it's kind of cruel.
It's crazy. I mean, the fact that anybody would, I mean, kill people for a thrill is sick in and of itself. But then film it, like deliberately.
Well, yeah, but if we've established anything on this show, people love to brag and show off their shit.
Oh yeah, no, there's an endless variety of sickness in the world, and
we just report it. We don't.
Yeah, people's ability to be cruel. Unusually cruel to one another.
That's what this show's based on.
Yeah, it pretty much is, because that's what the three of us do. I think Tom is talking about his baby Bella.
He's talking about his dog.
Doggy.
While we're talking about snuff films?
No. No, he stopped, because I think we were...
Did we ruin Harry Potter for Tom?
No, I don't think so.
Did we ruin snuff films for Tom?
Probably not.
You know what? We're making snuff films great again. It's going to be my platform when I run.
I don't think that people who have seen snuff films would be... let me back this up. I was going to say, I don't think most people who are worried about their reputation, if they had seen a snuff film somehow, that they would admit it. Because it's really dark.
Yeah, I've never seen one.
You know? Yeah, no. But I think that people
I think it would disturb me.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially, like, even one that was fake, but it looked like super, super real. But we're so desensitized.
I'll tell you what, I'm not really looking for those type of movies for good acting.
No.
I can still see you breathing, you cunt.
Breathing out of her cunt? Oh,
wow.
Wow,
that's a hell of a movie.
Yeah, I know. How's that happen?
Mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
Lip to lip.
Lip to lip. I don't think that that anybody who... you know, worries about what other people might think of them, or worries that their like significant other might not want to ever close their eyes at night again. You know, I'm not going to sleep at night if I know somebody has seen a snuff film.
Really?
I would be
just by seeing it.
Well, if they had searched it out and seen it,
it on YouTube.
No, but just the act of. I really want to see this.
What about if he saw it on Betamax? So you know it was a really long time ago, and the person would probably be dead anyway.
The person would be dead at this point, not all those years ago.
Right. So it's not something. It's like, yeah.
No.
Be dead anyway.
No, I don't.
What
think
happens
so.
If it was an 85-year-old that was snuffed out?
Oh well, were they nasty?
They had their moments.
Was there a? Social Security hefty enough that it was worth it to snuff them and keep collecting?
I don't think, but you do it, like you said, you do it for the thrill. You're not doing it for the money.
Of course not. That's what I'm kidding.
We're learning about you.
I watch too much Law and Order. I don't know how many times they've had that where they
never
found
seen an episode.
What?
Never seen that. Never seen CSI. Never seen any of that stuff.
You don't watch people get killed and raped for, you know, like nightly?
Only on Game of Thrones.
Your phone just took a dive off of the psychedelic comforter. I don't know what the fascination is, but I and apparently many others are fascinated with the whole Law and Order genre.
A lot of people are. I'm just not one of them. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean,
wife watches all that shit.
Yeah, I have. I I heard that one of the main characters, one of the main actors, and I'm trying to remember what his name was, it might have been Mandy Patinkin, was on CSI, the original one, and he left the show because they're, you know, profiling serial killers, and every week it was, they would find a new disgusting, degrading way to kill mostly women, and he's like,
really?
Yeah, and he was like, I'm not feeling this anymore. It's kind of gross.
You know what movie I saw lost a little bit from the 80s, lost a little bit off its fastball, went to show to the youth?
What?
Lost Boys.
Oh.
Remember that with the Coreys and Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah.
Hour in, she's like, is anything going to happen? Anything going to be? I remember, we all remember, in the cave, like in their vampire den.
Yeah, the vampire den was scary.
We don't remember the hour build up
waiting.
Like as a kid, it was the 80s. So I was probably like 13, 14, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good movie.
I don't, you know, I'm the movie impaired. I forget everything. But I do remember that scene because I thought it was like pretty scary. But I forgot that it took a long time to get there.
I watched the new It with her. And I'm like,
did you think it was good?
It was fine. Like, the wife didn't want to watch it. So I'm like, I'll watch it with you. And, like, they're just cursing up a storm. I'm like, don't tell your mother you're hearing these words.
I don't like clowns,
but
so
I mean,
I'm not watching that.
That's a lot more gory than Lost Boys. Like, my daughter's like coming in. She's like, I don't want to watch a vampire movie because she associates Twilight with her, which, you know, I don't want to, and Twilight is the appropriate reaction.
Right, right.
But I'm like, no, this is better. These are cool vampires.
Maybe not as cool as you remembered.
I still enjoyed it. It's nice to see the Coreys, young Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. But
back when, Tom says, you ever wonder if those snuffed in those movies have one IMDb credit?
It's a good question.
It is.
You know, it's a shame there are no Oscars for snuff films.
Yeah, I know.
There's only like the sad music to play all the people that died this year. That's the only feature for snuff films. That's the only thing they show.
Actually, that's one of the features of Talking Dead is that they show all the people that died in the last episode, but they come up with hilarious names for the zombies that get killed.
Okay.
I love it. Okay. Tom is agreeing with you. He's like kind of like the movie From Dusk Till Dawn. Do you remember that one?
No, which one was that?
That was the one with George Clooney in it. And
Clooney had a rather dubious beginning.
Yeah, and
who knew he was
going to
be the dreamboat and such the activist that he became?
It wasn't even a beginning. This was like later in his career,
fun? You get to see careers diminish slowly. There was a time when Nicolas Cage was like an A-level celebrity.
I know.
He's still putting out movies, but they're going like straight to like Netflix and shit like that, and like HBO now, Blu-ray. It's like, oh,
yeah.
And I'll go, oh, I like Nick Cage. I'll watch this. And he has like one star. No, I'm like, but Raising Arizona. There was like so many good movies. Nick Cage, Face Off.
I know. There were really good movies he was in. And then he blew all his money trying to be Superman.
I feel like Clooney's going to go that way.
No. No.
I feel like Clooney could.
I don't
one,
think so.
One artsy film too many.
No, I don't think so.
You know who
so.
Else went that? Julia Roberts. Nobody gives a shit about her anymore. But she just doesn't work.
She's doing TV now.
Oh, is she?
They just advertised some TV show, Homecoming. Is that it? No. And that she's going to be in about bringing vets home. But then they're studying them, and there's something nefarious about.
I don't know.
Happening.
I just feel like Patrick Swayze did it right.
Died
before you become irrelevant. There's something to be said about. Really, do you really think the band The Doors, would have aged well?
No,
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 no. But Jim Morrison was a rock star and went out on top. Good for Jim.
Good for Jim.
Nirvana, same thing. Yeah, is that really going to look good? Arena tours? They're not going to do arenas now in 2018.
You know what? A lot of people who had really long careers, they evolved. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if there's much evolution for a band like Nirvana. It was a lot of screaming. I really like Nirvana.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, they weren't really that musically great. It was just the right time. It was the right time, the right feeling. It was the right, kind of like President Trump. Right time, right feeling. Kind of like Obama. No, wait. Right time, right feeling.
Right.
Like, you don't know how it's going to age.
No, you don't. You don't.
That's what I'm saying.
I just know that, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. Drummer, Nirvana.
Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl,
right.
Thank you. Dave Grohl came out of that a rock star.
He did.
Literally.
Right. He
big,
did.
Big, huge.
But I'm saying, but if they all stayed together in Nirvana.
No, I mean, the bass player's done nothing. And I don't know how stuff would have aged.
That's what
I'm
saying. There's something to be going out for on top. There's something to be said for that.
Trucker Tom saying he's done. Clooney is doing fucking Nescafe commercials now.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Tom's backing me up.
He went from Danny Ocean to hawking shitty coffee flavored drinks.
At least when Tom Hanks goes down, like Tom Hanks didn't go to the Nick Cage stage.
Right.
He's just not getting nominated for Oscars every year.
No.
He's still putting out, you know, substantive films. He's still a name. People are still somewhat excited to see Tom Hanks.
Sure.
Nobody's excited to see Nick Cage. And Nick Cage was damn good.
No, but you know what?
You know who else like that? Chuck Norris.
He polluted his cred.
There was a time in the 80s when Chuck Norris
was a name, and people
Delta
were excited.
Delta IV, people were excited. Oh, I knew Chuck Norris.
Yeah, but he's aging. How long could he keep it up?
But now what's he doing? Like an ab roller commercial? <He's> like there's something to be said for either stopping.
Those ab rolls are dynamic when he does it.
No, but it's like the thing where he's like.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I know he gets involved with politics too. But essentially, his entertainment career is, you know, Walker Texas Rangers was the last hurrah.
I know, but you know what? There's one thing to be said for people who their entertainment value is because of their physicality. You can't keep that up when you're getting older. I mean, it starts to either.
You know who kept it up while they were getting older? Harrison Ford. Now, Harrison Ford has a long list of shit movies you never heard of, too.
True.
But Harrison Ford was still Indiana Jones in his 70s or late 60s.
Yeah.
Still Han Solo. Still doing it. Tom Cruise, in his 50s, still doing his own stuff. Tom Cruise has helped. Tom Cruise had a dip when everybody got, like, wigged out about his religion.
Yeah.
But Tom Cruise is back, baby.
Yeah, but you know what? There's some substance behind their acting. There was never any substance behind the acting chops of, like,
Nick Cage?
Name? Not Nick Cage.
Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
You know, there's got to be something behind it. Like, look, you know, Britney Spears has not got a strong voice. Entertainment value, yes. But as soon as those boobs are drooping to her knees, she's not going to...
Those boobs are never going to droop.
Because she's always going to have them done.
Well, she should.
But the thing is...
She knows what her fans want.
Yeah, but when the plastic surgery becomes, like, on the face and it's not looking good, when she's starting to look like, you know, the Crypt Keeper, there's nothing substantive behind her that's going to keep people coming. So, you know, there's people who, like a Tom Hanks. Even if he was in a couple of bumps, he still has the acting chops and he has the likability and he has that ability. And nobody is just looking at him and going, what a piece of beefcake. He was never actually beefcakey, you know, and he's always been an actor.
Huh. So by that theory, I would be the type of actor that had quite the duration. Never the beefcake, but I've maintained. Nobody's seen my movies for the physicality.
No, nobody's looking for that. You have a longer lifespan when you have...
But even Will Ferrell. People used to get excited. There was like a block of 5 years there when people were excited about a new Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, but
nobody gives a shit now.
Yeah, but you know, with the lifespan of an actual movie star is actually quite short. It's these people that have the longevity of the exception to the rule.
I'm just saying, you know what? Snuff film's not a bad way to end a career. Just saying.
Wait a minute. We're back to snuff films.
I'm just saying, you know what? Maybe you don't take that bad script. You know what?
It's a bad script for you, honey, if you're going to die.
Maybe you don't play the Civic Center when you used to play arenas.
Well, no. Well, you see a lot of
musicians. Maybe you say no to the state fair. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I think a lot of people love state fairs, but to me it seems embarrassing to play a state fair on the way down. You know what I mean? Like when you're...
That's where a snuff film comes in. Go, you know what? I could go in between the pie eating contest and judging the pigs, or I could do this snuff film.
No. I would rather do the state fair than do the snuff film.
Because you're a pussy.
Nobody's going to see the snuff film.
Sure they will. It's sure
a couple of sickos that bought it in a back room of
in a scene to die for. Pip Helix is one last stand with three last guys.
Not Hufflepuff.
Like you just see like the last glint in your eyes, it fades, you realize what's happened, you've been Hufflepuffed.
Hufflepuff.
Sure, then we'd have something. Yeah. Pip Pip should get Hufflepuffed. By the way, I've had enough of these fucking candidates with their calls and everything. They can all fucking die.
Oh, I know, I know.
That's why I'm constantly calling.
Oh, no, I'm really sick of it. Tom says, trust me, lady, it won't be in the sequel.
Exactly. And that's in the sequel, unless it's Empire Strikes Back, is never as good.
No,
nobody
no.
talks about Gremlins 2.
Was there a Gremlins 2?
Exactly.
Oh, sad.
There was. There was.
Painful.
There was.
I'm sure that was really painful.
That was fine.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would hold up. I thought the Lost Boys would hold up. By the way, I still enjoy the Lost Boys.
Well, yeah. There's movies that I enjoyed.
Corey Haim, very good in it.
You know, did you really think so?
I thought he was fine. A little smart alecky younger brother, had some good lines.
I don't remember.
It was funny because Corey Feldman was supposed to talk in this deeper voice like he's this expert on killing vampires who him and his friend are running a comic book store. So that was a little, I feel like we could have utilized Mr. Feldman's talents a little better.
It's talents. Actually, he was really good in Stand By Me.
Great movie. That holds up.
That does hold up.
But none of them did anything afterwards.
Wait a minute. Will Wheaton.
Who?
Will Wheaton.
Who was the skinny one?
Yeah, he was the skinny one. He was in the Star Trek franchise. Huh. And he is immortalized for being in the Star Trek franchise. Yeah. I mean, Corey Feldman, those poor Corey bastards.
What was it? River Phoenix was in there, right?
Yeah.
But he died.
He died.
So he went out on top. Heath Ledger went out on top.
Wait, no, back to the other, the chubby kid in Stand By Me turned out to be the guy who is, oh God, what is his name? He's famous now. He had a TV show on Bravo where they talk about the Real Housewives.
Is that really famous?
No, but he did movies and stuff too. But he's
you know who had the best second act? I'll tell you who had the best second act. Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley became a scout for the Los Angeles Angels, Anaheim Angels.
Did he really?
Yeah. I don't know if he still is, but he was for a while.
Oh,
baseball
my God.
So there's your bet. That's a nice little change of pace right there.
No, hang on a second. The guy who played Gopher on The Love Boat became a senator.
Yeah, but there's no pride in that. Lots of people. You know, we've had astronauts that have become that. We've had former athletes,
sure.
Former actors, reality stars. That's not such a big... Listen, if that's the easiest transition. And people know, you're like, fuck yeah, that guy. He made me laugh.
Hey, I'll vote for him. I recognize his name.
Yeah, it's like, now does Gopher's acting really hold up? I think not.
Oh no,
Isaac really carried it. If you.
Well, I'm pointing at you now. Double point.
You know who's had a good second act? Henry Winkler.
Yes, yes.
But but he's no longer the short Italian guy. Now he's the short old Jew.
I know.
It's like he owned who he is.
Yeah, no, he came full circle now. He is what he always should have
he
been.
He was a tough guy, and now he's soft-spoken.
I think it's hilarious that, you know, like this shorter Jewish guy was supposed to be the tough guy. You know, hey, I mean.
You know what? There's something to be said for short, tough guys. Yeah, you had Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, he's short.
Tom Cruise. You just got to surround them with other short people.
I'm thinking Joe Pesci. No, but have you seen him in something? He's like the psycho bad tough
De Niro?
Guy. Is he short?
I think so.
I don't know.
But yeah, there's something to be said. Short tough guys.
Oh, all right. Tom says that River Phoenix he went out after playing young Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. And you can see it comes right back to Harrison Ford.
7 degrees of Harrison Ford.
You know what? It's a game to be played.
The Last Crusade. I watched that like a year or two ago.
Did you? I don't remember that.
You know what? Those are movies. The Raiders of the Lost Ark, I used to love it. Thought it would always hold up.
Yeah.
Watched it a year or two ago. I'm like, it's not holding up. Mm. I remember being much funnier.
Funnier. Oh, yeah. Oh, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Yeah.
That's like
very
that.
Dangerous. You got yeah. like, I remember being much funnier.
Hmm.
But I was younger.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still fun. It's still a nice romp.
Yeah. I mean, but there's some things that you remember that you thought, oh, that was great. That was hilarious. And you do see it many years later, and you're like, ew, why?
You know what holds up? Star Wars. Star Wars holds up.
I still have not ever seen the whole thing.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know.
So it was Halloween. So I had the Darth Vader onesie from last year. I wasn't going to go anything. I just threw on a Devil's jersey because I was going to go out with the kids trick-or-treating and answer the door. But I'm like, I got the Darth Vader onesie. I know what I'll do. I'll wear my little Darth Vader onesie out.
Right.
Wear number one father of the year hat, and I have this lightsaber type barbecue tongs.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be Dad Vader.
I love that.
I was Dad Vader this year, and I never get dressed up for that shit.
One year I was a Spice Ghoul.
I like that.
Yes, thank
I
you.
Like that. So, but then like one of the daughter's friends is like, "Well, tell us dad jokes," and dad jokes are like, you know,
bad jokes.
Yeah, they're bad jokes that dads think are funny.
Right.
And I was like trying to think, and I'm like, oh, whatever. What's a ghost favorite fruit? Blueberry. I mean, it's like, you know,
yeah.
It's like, I don't got, for me, a dad joke is, all right, are we talking about blowjobs? Oh.
No. You're a different kind of dad.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, I got real jokes. I don't do that shit.
No. You're like, you're making me be a hack? That's so cruel.
It's like, all right, do you want me to open with blowjobs or beat your kids? Where are we going in the set with this? What are you looking for? Because this dad's got jokes that you haven't heard.
That's true.
This dad's got jokes that are going to provoke some phone calls.
Yes. And some R ratings.
But I feel bad because I don't have those jokes. Like, what do I close with? Pull my finger? I don't got that shit in my repertoire.
If you're going to be the dad and you're telling dad jokes, yes.
Well, that made me realize I really need to up my game if I'm going to go as Dad Vader.
You're
going
to have to do the arms.
Yeah, but you can't do that with 12-year-old girls or
13-year-olds. No. Yeah, there's going to be a...
Are those nubs in my back?
Oh, my God, they'll be your hearing. Oh, God, are those nubs in my back? Yeah, exactly. That's what's going to happen. And that was the mom. That's the perv alarm.
I'll be running in.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a rule of comedy. Do not do the arms with a 13-year-old girl.
No. And remember, we are still in an urban area. So, I mean, a rural area, rather, I meant to say.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Shotgun.
Well, yeah, people have guns here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
shotgun.
Yeah, because it's hunting season right now. I told you. The family gets, like, wigged out when they hear gunshots, like, because, right. Like, deer and bear are being killed off in the woods.
Right, I know, but so will pervs. Don't be touching the little girls. Stay away from the little girls with the arms joke.
I think it's just pretty much stay away from the little girls.
Yeah, period.
Well, at least until they get theirs.
Oh, oh God. Oh, no, that's pervy dad jokes.
No, nobody wants me to do that. So
if there's grass on the field,
Well, I mean, Halloween's your anniversary. Anything exciting happened for you?
Well, we went out to eat at our favorite haunted restaurant.
Wait,
so,
Jekyll and Hyde's in the city?
No, that's actually not there anymore. That closed.
It was there like last year.
What?
Or 2 years ago. They have like the maze and shit?
Yeah, it closed.
Yeah, we did that 1 year. Overrated.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually did not know what to expect of there, and the best part about it was there was a huge statue in the middle of kind of the, not the entrance area, but this large open area that was next to where we were seated, and there's this, I guess it was Apollo? I don't know, but I got up to use the restroom, and then on the way back, I was looking at the statue, and it started talking to me, and I was not expecting that, and my friends knew that everything was bugged and had cameras and these kind of things would happen to you. I didn't. And I was like, holy wait a minute. It's talking to me.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I remember when I went to the urinal, something grabbed me and I stayed for a while. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoyed that.
I know.
I don't know if it was part of the attraction.
Well, it was part of the attraction for you.
It most certainly was. So you guys have a favorite restaurant?
Yeah, we do.
So that was the whole extent of it? How many years has it been now?
Well, we've been married for, this will be 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah, but we were together for 10 before that, so it's been forever.
It's a lot of time to make each other miserable.
Yeah.
We've put in some time.
Yeah, we put in some time.
So it was just, so you guys
were better at it now.
But you love Halloween, so you didn't stay home for the kids?
I stayed home for the kids, but we didn't get as many kids the last few years.
The wife figured out we had 100 kids this year. Then we ran out of shit.
Out. I would have been
and
so happy.
She's like putting out goodie bags.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, once again, pissed off on Halloween. So I got my full Dad Vader gear going on.
Right.
Little kid comes up dressed up in an X-Wing fighter outfit.
Okay.
You know, back in the day it was Luke Skywalker. So I go, Luke, I am your father. Motherfucker says thank you. No.
No,
you lied. No. A little respect for what you're getting dressed up as. A little respect for your cinematic heritage. Don't say thank you. Say no.
No, you're lying.
And then drop off my porch.
Yeah. It's no. Look, it's sort of, if we're going to both play this game, if everybody's suspending disbelief for the day, then you have to go along with it. I remember, this was the coolest thing ever. One year I dressed up as a monster, and I was
you're supposed to go in his costume.
And I was just me. And what I would do is, there's a bench on my front yard, and I would sit there amongst all the decorations. As the kids would come up, I would just kind of slump over a little bit, and like I would hear, there's a hill, and I see the kids coming up the hill, and they start to notice me sitting there, and I hear them talking amongst themselves, like, "I think that's real. That might be real. I think it moved," and they're wondering, "Am I real or not?" And that was really great, but we have a caller.
Hello, Davin's Den.
Happy election day.
Oh, Sergeant Joe Padula, how are you, Joe?
How are you, Davin? It's great to hear your voice. I miss you, brother. I really do.
I miss you. How is our favorite Yankee in Tennessee doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, y'all. You know, and I'm working on my my southern phrases, like reckon and fixin' and yonder and all that good stuff.
Well, but this is home for you now. That's it. You're not coming back east.
Well, I mean, the mission is here. The mission currently is here, and the mission's going pretty well. So we're doing all right, you know.
So you got a new show, right? You got this Joe Padula show, but you're on a new station now.
Yeah, we're on the 105.5 The Bull. We're on in the mornings from 6 to 9, and 3 to 6 in the afternoons.
Wow.
Monday through Friday.
Are you live? Are you live both in the 3 hour slots? In both 3 hour slots?
Yeah, it's all live, and it's all different content each one, and. Thank God for coffee and wine at the same time.
That's a lot of content. So basically, the Bulls' budget goes to paying Joe Padula. That's basically what the budget goes to.
Davin, they better increase their budget, you know?
I know the struggle.
That's for sure. Who's in studio with you?
Joe.
Pip and I.
Pip, how are you, Pip? I miss you so much, too. I love you.
I'm good. I love you, too. I wish you were here so I could put my hand on your knee the whole time.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you, I just got a little excited. This is good.
Awesome.
She misses your pecs.
I do.
Yeah, I'm flexing them for you right now,
baby. Oh, Christ.
No more. You
no
know
more
what?
Of that.
I don't have the drop cloth down, Joe. You gotta slow up.
You know,
I'm wearing black pants.
Has been a while since Joe's posted one of his topless poses in his refrigerator as he pretends he's showing off what he's eating, but he just wants to, like, look, have his body oiled up by the light of the fridge. It's been a while since we've seen that picture.
The station told me not to do it.
Really?
Don't they know that's your strongest selling point?
Yeah, I know. But I got a magazine shoot coming up for that, for Operation Absolutely, so we're excited about that.
That's very cool.
Do tell.
Yeah. So in Middle Tennessee, outside of Nashville there, there's a magazine company, and they wanted to do a personality feature. And so we decided to do a cross-promotion where I'll be able to help out with Operation Absolutely, where I give my little tips and my little secrets. So we'll be doing that every, I think it's every other month.
That's cool.
You're giving up the tip, Joe?
Oh, stop it.
I can't help myself.
Just the tip.
Just the tip?
Are you, like, on a Christian station? Is that why you can't post topless anymore?
Nah, it's a top 40 country station when we're not talking. So it's just, we came to an agreement, the owner and I.
But you're like, but the pecs, and he's like, it's too much. You're intimidating our audience.
I prefer
yeah,
the...
It's all good. I think he's a little jealous, that's all.
We all are.
Now since I'm out of the studio.
I tell you what, I'd give you my second best horse if I could just oil up those pecs. I really would.
Woo! I'm in.
I prefer the topless 40 stations myself.
Yes, Pip, exactly, yes.
So,
how's the coverage going so far?
Well, I wanted to pick your brain about that. You're right in the middle of the red, and you're a red guy. So, what's the buzz on the ground? Was it Washburn? Is it Martha Washburn?
Well, here in Tennessee, there's a big one. You got Marsha Blackburn,
who was
actually on the show Friday. It was nice lady,
mm-hmm.
And she's going up against Phil Bredesen. So it's a pretty big Senate race right here in Tennessee.
Former governor of Tennessee, last Democrat to be elected to national office in Tennessee, as I believe.
You know, the mayor election usually goes Democrat, but for governor, it's Carl Dean, a former Nashville mayor, versus Bill Lee, who is an outsider. He's a business guy, and he never really ran for politics. So it's those two going back and forth, and We haven't seen any release numbers yet. Our polling's reclosed in about a half hour here in Tennessee.
Okay. Well, I want to pick your brain. I believe you're a Trump supporter, judging by your Facebook posts. Is that correct?
My Facebook posts, I just ask questions.
I see the questions you ask. I know what you're going for, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, not to stir the pot, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's always stirring it one particular way. So I don't know what they think, but I know. So.
David, here's what's hysterical. Like, back home, we know when someone says not to stir the pot, it means get ready, the pot's about to get stirred.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But down here, they're like, but you're stirring the pot. And I'm like, well, okay, you know.
Oh, irony.
Yeah, it's great. I definitely support President Donald Trump. I like the fact that he's up front, and he's a when he talks, I hear a New Yorker talking, which is nice.
You could just call me, and I'll fucking let that happen. I mean, geez, I'll talk to you.
Yeah, it's all about the accent for you.
That's the worst reason ever I've heard of to support the president. I like the accent. Worst reason ever.
No, you know, and I believe in his policies.
Okay.
I lean right, you know.
I know.
I'm a leaning guy.
Well, that's why I want to pick your brain about a couple of things, because I know you support him.
Love conversation.
But, of course, you know, you served in the military, made it to sergeant, served bravely in Afghanistan. So I want to pick your brain because the president last week said some things. So, and I know you're in a military community. I played their comedy there years ago. Clarksville is a big military community. 101st Airborne, am I correct?
Man, you're right on it, Davin. You're on it, brother.
So thank you. So the president said. He didn't say that.
Are you on an elevator?
Sorry, I'm in the Cadillac, and it's making noises.
Look at him.
I'm in the
Cadillac. Well, I guess when you do 6 hours of radio a day.
Oh, my God.
In the fucking Cadillac, like a pimp. Better shirts open, too.
Hold on, let me zip it up. How'd you know?
Yeah, because I know you.
Time, damn it.
It's a fall night. You want to get those nipples glass hard.
Woo! I love it. For
oh, my God. I need the drop cloth.
Yeah, she really does. Anyway.
I do.
So the president said he was...
to make it over.
Yes. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the president said he was going to send 15,000, up to 15,000, active military to the border to combat the caravan of invaders or refugees, depending on your news station.
Right.
Depending on who you're listening to. He said the military should fire on people who throw rocks at them. He took that back the next day, but he did say it. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford, said Monday that the U.S. military will not be involved in the actual mission of denying people entry to the United States. So my question is, what's it like for active duty personnel when they get, like, different messages, when they have the commander-in-chief saying one thing, but then you have the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying something completely different? What's that like for the rank and file?
Now, I saw all the same news stuff, too, you know, and it's good to be engaged, but in the news category I'm talking about.
Right.
But I looked and I called up my resources, and I got the actual units that are being deployed to the southern border. You know, they're being deployed to California, Arizona, Texas, all right? So I looked at the units, the actual units that are going, and a lot of them are from Fort Campbell, you know, Clarksville area.
Right.
So, and it's all support units. These aren't infantry guys that are being sent down there. These are the cooks. These are the generator guys. These are the logistic guys.
Right.
It's all a support role for the Border Patrol.
Which the Border Patrol, first of all, we have reserves there. We have the National Guard there serving that same thing as we speak. But that's not what the president is conveying. The president makes it sound like we're going to line our guys up on the border, and if you throw a rock, we're going to shoot them. So it kind of confuses. He's giving one impression. You happen to have the resources to get the information that most of the people don't get. I mean, so does that bother you?
Well, the clip that you're referring to, Davin, is when the reporter asked a question to President Trump. They said, you know, they were throwing rocks, because we all seen the video at the Guatemala-Mexico border, I'm sure, with the taking down of the fence there and then the throwing the rocks at the federales.
Right.
You know, so the reporter asked Donald Trump the question, if rocks are thrown, what is the retaliation? And, you know, President Trump said, well, rocks are like weapons. And you know what? I would ask David and Goliath if they thought those were weapons, too.
Yeah, all right. We're not doing fairy tales from the Bible. This is real shit right here. It's not.
Jesus Christ, my Lord, personal Savior. I love the books from the Torah, including, you know, the
You Bible. Can love all the books, but let's not talk about military strategy and quoting the Bible. Because if we're talking rocks and we're talking Gaza Strip, that's really what we would be talking about. And even the Israelis don't fire bullets, live bullets, when they're throwing rocks. They throw tear gas and other shit to disperse them. They don't fire live bullets.
Seven, you don't understand intimidation, do you? You know, somebody says, hey, they want to throw rocks. Well, let's think about what we're going to do in retaliation.
I got to tell you, I don't think a bunch of people in flip-flops marching from Guatemala are getting the daily press briefings.
Evan, are you going to talk over me the whole time, my friend?
No, but that doesn't make sense.
I'm trying to answer the question here, and you're just rambling. You know what I mean, my friend?
All right.
Thank you, Dad. All right, so he puts this message out there. This message gets heard. This message gets spread, okay? It's an intimidation factor. To be honest with you, if I'm a soldier and I'm worried about getting rocks thrown at me, I'm glad that the commander-in-chief brief, okay, is going, hey, I support you guys. I don't want rocks being thrown at you.
Yeah, but see, here's what I'd be concerned about. Right now, I would say probably the only part of the government that is held in high esteem by the vast majority of the population is the military. Wherever you are in the aisle, most people appreciate the military, respect the military. Was not always that way in this country. We saw in Vietnam.
Point there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We saw
you more than I, since you're a little bit older, right?
Still before my time, but fuck you.
Oh, I love it, damn it!
But we saw in Vietnam, because what people were seeing on TV was they were seeing these villages burn. They were seeing what were perceived as innocent people being executed. Where our soldiers came home and they were treated like crap. And you know, the veterans were not greeted the way they were from Desert Storm, the way they were from Iraq and Afghanistan as conquering heroes and appreciated and adored.
That's right.
So I mean, I would say that if we saw on the TV. Because remember, there's women and children in there. It's not like they have a line of rock throwers and the women and children in the back. They're just all marching together. I'm saying,
you know, the women and children are going to be in the front. You know that?
Well, yeah. I don't know. They're not Islamic terrorists. They're refugees. But anyway, but I'm saying I think.
They are not refugees. Oh no, that is not refugee status.
Well, they get to apply for it when they get to the border. They get to apply for it. And they'll have judges there.
You go to your embassy in your country to apply for that. That's how that process works.
Or you could seek amnesty at the border. And yes, you can do that. They have judges there. But anyway.
You seek asylum.
Yes, asylum. That's what they're saying. Fine. You're absolutely right. Asylum.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Right.
Anyway.
Technical words, right.
Anyway. When I was doing one of the things with the scammers, one of the biggest problems, because as we all know, the scammers will pretend to be members of the military. People get scammed.
That's crazy. Oh, my God. You had a dolph. Dude, I don't know how you kept your cool with those guys. That was unbelievable.
It's a gift. I'm used to dealing with loons. Anyway,
high-pip.
Hey, now. They wasn't talking to me, except he was pointing and nodding.
So. But one of the big problems was people would get scammed, and they would think that it was really our servicemen and women that were doing the scamming, and the prestige and the opinion would deteriorate internationally. That's one of the reasons why OPSEC was working with me and everything, because this was a real concern. Because even overseas, our military had been raised to such a point where, you know, for the most part, if you saw G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe was the good guy.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, if you start having these images.
Showing off his caddy.
Alex, tell me I'm low on fuel.
What I'm saying is, you're going to deteriorate the image of the U.S. military if you have them firing on rock throwers with live ammunition.
And, yeah, you know, of course you are. But do you really think that these trained, dedicated warriors, and when I say trained, I mean these are disciplined warriors, okay, that are being sent there and as a support role that won't be at the front lines, you will not have any of them.
Absolutely, and that's what should be done. No, I agree with you. First of all, I don't know if they need to be there. But yes, that would be a better role because we actually have ICE and Border Security and Department of Homeland Security. We actually have the people who deal with that and are trained to deal with it on the front lines, as they should be. So, but the way the president was conveying it, you know, the average military person would have to make a decision. Am I going to shoot at these people? Not shoot these people. I mean, it's a chain of command. What do you do?
So you have your soldiers trained to do their job, you know, again, the support roles, mechanics, cooks, tent makers, the whole bit. You know, every job, every role has a reason, has a mission.
Mm-hmm.
So they go there. Guess what? They're not even going to be carrying weapons.
So are you do you have a problem? Because the president hasn't said that. I know the president hasn't. But do you have a problem with conveying one message and when in reality what they're going to be doing is something much different?
See, I think he sent the wrong troops. The Space Force should have went.
Oh, well, Space Force covers everything because then you could just blow them up from above. And there's really not blood because they just vaporize.
No, I hear you. But, with the soldiers that are going to be deployed there, it's just going to be a couple months. Once again, it's going to be that support role. There won't be even the opportunity of having the soldiers on the borderline, if you will, because they're going to be, you know, what is that, 40 miles off the border with the logistics side of it.
Well, let me ask you this. You're conservative.
Yeah, what's up, brother?
You're conservative.
Yeah,
they're saying it's going to cost $200 million for them to be there for a couple months. Is it worth it?
Well, they put that projection out, but guess what? It's going to cost them $200 million for them not to be deployed and be on post and on the bases.
Well, no, but
you got to understand that there is that mainstream media out there that loves to put stuff out for their message. It costs the same amounts for them to be here home, training and living on post.
Are they Are they losing time training for missions which they will be the front line for, where they're being deployed overseas? Are they losing time training for missions if they're over at the border?
This is the best training that they can get. Because this is like on-the-job training. This will be considered like there's a JRTC that we do. It's a Joint Readiness Training Center that we go to, that we train for, where it's like a real-world situation before we go to Afghanistan or at the time Iraq, the whole bit. So this is a real-world situation where they're going to be actually doing their job on mission, not coming home on the weekends, going out to the Electric Cowboy, getting hammered. They're going to be out
there.
Hey,
I think I played the Electric Cowboy. I think that's where I used to do comedy.
Yeah, Gavin, we got to go. When are you coming down here, man?
I don't know. I gotta tell you, Tennessee's not on it's not on the agenda. I told you, set up some comedy. I'll do it at the base. Set it up. I'd love to go. I just don't have it scheduled right now.
We can do that, my friend. I can do that.
All right.
I like that idea.
All right.
But Davin, I'm at an election party that I'm emceeing tonight, so I gotta go to it's an election party for a Democrat too, by the way.
Do they know? Do they know which way you're leaning?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you know the. You got red, you got blue, and then money's green, right?
Hey, listen, I do political fundraisers for Republicans, and some people give me shit, but I'm like, you know what? Money's money.
Right.
Bill's got, you know, I got to put gas in my car.
I heard.
That's
capitalism, baby. We're all part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I love. You know, at the end of the day, and you know this better than most, we're all Americans. We're all neighbors some way, somehow. And I love what you do to support other Americans like myself, my battle buddies, Pip, you're right there, too.
Yep.
You know, I love you guys. We may not agree on situations or politics at times, but at the end of the day, I love shaking your hand and raising a glass with you.
I think the thing that unites us all is the love of your pecs. I really feel that that brings us all together.
it brings me together with you. I'd like to get together with you closer. To talk
all right,
about
you're
it.
You're scaring him.
What?
You're going to give him PTSD. He's done enough for this country. Leave
him knows
alone.
All about me. He's not scared.
He's a
Pip, I got to stand up in a few minutes. You can't do this to me, all
right? He's already saluting you, Pip.
Attaboy.
Davin.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you.
Great talk. We got to do this more often. And same thing with my show. Just we can't curse on it.
I don't
know.
You're very disciplined. You're good. Yeah.
Whatever you want. Whenever you want, and you always have an open invitation here.
Yes.
I love you guys.
All right.
Love you
too, brother.
All right, guys. Have a great election night. All right.
You too.
You too. Have fun.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
You've got to get an absolutely in there. Absolutely. I can't help myself.
There you go.
I have to throw myself like shamelessly at Joe Padula.
Sergeant Joe Padula. There you go. So it's interesting. So he found that, you know, you could say the mainstream media isn't giving you the whole poop, and that might be true. It seems like they're not.
But you know what?
But neither is the president. That's the problem.
No, I know. No, you're not getting the straight thing from either person.
That's the problem.
I like the point that he made that they're going to get paid wherever they're at. So it's like,
well, I didn't get to talk about it with him because we ran out of time. But there is something to be said. A lot of these people in the military have been deployed so many times.
Oh my God!
So you would like to have. They are missing out on family time around the holidays.
Sure.
Now, I realize, you know, hey, it's the gig. I get that.
Yeah.
But then the question is, do we really need him? And I'm not really convinced that we do need him there. Joe did not convince me that we need him there because they're just doing support shit.
I'm not convinced that they are needed there either. But like you said, there are support people. You know, he's saying cooks and, you know, like clerks.
Which, that's why we have
that.
The National Guard there.
I know.
And you can hire local people for that shit.
You wouldn't want to hire local people because they're not trained.
I'm talking to cook.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking cook and clerical work.
Yeah,
they have civilians that work for the army in the military.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. They're not saying that they're sending them there to cook. You know,
like, no, but that's
but it's part of the support.
Right. And I know in the past when they were sent down, they're working as mechanics. They weren't going out on patrol.
Right.
But that's what the National Guard was doing.
Yeah.
So why are we sending – that's why I don't understand. Why are we sending
either.
Active?
He didn't really
convince me on why we're doing that. You know,
I don't think he was trying to convince you.
No, I don't think so either.
I think the questions you were posing was he opposed to this action? And
he wouldn't really answer that because it's not really what they're going there for.
No, it's not.
He wouldn't get into hypotheticals.
No,
but so he did have an interesting point that he felt that the military, the personnel would be emboldened because the president had their back.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's why it's great to have people on the show.
No, I don't know if they would all think that way, but yeah. I'm sure some of them would have, and I never would have thought of that.
No, but I'm saying that's why it's great to have people on the show that have actually been in the profession or have been on the the ground, if you will. You know, I mean, he is a soldier, and he does know what's what with this. The same thing when we have police officers on the show, and they tell us from their professional point of view what these messages mean to them, and I would not have looked at it that way, but I totally see your point, because I was distraught about the idea that we're shooting at people throwing rocks. Not that you don't need to defend yourself, but it's like that's like taking a sledgehammer to crack a walnut,
right?
Listen,
you drop tear gas. Listen, you're gonna have people on the far left bitching that you're dropping tear gas at,
right?
But I mean, that should be your absolute, like, most aggressive stance.
Of course.
If you feel like the military's in danger from these rocks and you need them to disperse, okay.
But
the tear gas, I mean.
But like we said.
You can't be firing on rock throwers. Even Israel doesn't do that in the Gaza Strip. And I do think my point is, if we saw those images flashing across our TVs around the world, it would endanger our military overseas.
It would.
And the opinion, and like I said, I think the military at this point is the only part of government that everybody's behind.
Right.
As
a matter of fact, when I walked into my polling area, my voting area, rather, this afternoon, I saw a man wearing his, you know, regalia because he was a vet. And an older
it's
man.
Regalia.
Well, you know.
Halloween's over, buddy.
No, but I mean, he was wearing a hat, and he actually had something on his jacket, too, that, you know.
Sure, he wasn't part of Sergeant Pepper's?
Different regalia.
Okay.
And not the right mustache.
Mm.
And and I said, thank you for your service.
That's nice of you.
And he said, thank you for saying that. And the wife was pleased. But I meant it.
You meant it to her. You meant it, thank you for servicing
thank you
him.
For servicing him, because we need to keep him calm.
Exactly. Your words came out wrong.
We don't know what went down. We know what went down. You. No, but
no, it's nice of you. It's good.
Well, but you know what? I do make a point of saying that to
you're a good egg pit, Alex.
You know.
So there you go. So that's what's going on. What was told to us apparently is not so much.
Yeah, you never exactly get the whole picture, do you?
I just wish they. You know what?
It's disappointing.
Say nothing or be truthful.
It's so disappointing because, really, from both sides, it's like you have to like sit there and sift through the message, and try to figure out where does the truth really lie. Everybody's either
but
looking
the military
for clickbait
isn't allowed
or
to act in the police action, and that's what the Constitution doesn't let them.
Would you say it's a police action, or I mean, guarding our borders is defending our country.
Right, but that's why we have agencies specifically to do that.
That's why
we don't have our military on our borders.
Agreed.
So, you know, listen, when shit goes down in a city, you know, once in a while they'll call in the National Guard, but that's when shit's really
that's just when full scale riots are going
exactly. on. Exactly. Like when shit's just kind of bad, it's never the military.
No.
It's the police.
It's like in the '60s when there was rioting, the National Guard was called in.
No, the founding fathers were very cognizant of making sure that our military was not policing the civilians. The police were policing the civilians,
right.
Not the military.
War has gone on for much longer in the past than this country has been around.
Speaking of policing, one last thing, then we'll take a break.
Okay.
So I dropped my kid off at Hebrew school on Sunday.
I'm scared.
Why?
That's always the start of a bad story. Well, we're not dealing with the same rabbi, or are we?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't gotten to know this one to test him. He seems perfectly lovely.
Okay, fine.
You know.
Please go continue.
So they had an armed guard in Kevlar walking the perimeter.
When was this?
This was Sunday. Well, remember last Saturday you had the Pittsburgh massacre.
Oh, right.
And he's been there since the Pittsburgh massacre. I just was traveling last week, so I didn't go to the Hebrew school.
Right.
Because I was coming back from there. So, on the one hand, I'm very glad he's there and that the Hebrew school is so responsive,
mm-hmm.
like where it's proactive. I mean, I talked about when I was in Italy, when I saw, like, all the armed military on the streets and the Humvees and everything. Like, on one part, you're startled, and you're part, well, I'm glad they're there.
Right.
Because you know what? If somebody's going to have, I'd rather this than, like, teachers with guns or rabbis with guns.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have, he's got the security on the back. I assume there's some training.
I would like the trained men to be
there.
Yeah,
I'm assuming he's like an off-duty cop or retired cop or a veteran of some.
A lot of them take those jobs, yep.
Yeah, they got to make money, even when they retire.
Yeah.
No. So, not very friendly, but I guess he doesn't have to be. Hey, how's he doing? He said hello, but that much chit-chat.
He's not a real estate agent. Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about you and your
mood. Rather serious fellow.
Yeah, good.
So, but apparently, like, my dad's temple now they have armed guards, which was not always the case. So my question is this, and I'm not looking to start fights, but part of the old Make America Great Again movement,
yeah,
whether you like it or don't like it, was to bring us back to a better time. Hence, America was great.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring it back again. That's the premise.
A better time for who?
I understand that. And that's where the detractors say, African Americans go, well, that wasn't a good time.
Yeah.
But that's the premise behind it. I'm not saying I agree with it.
I know.
But that's the premise. We're going to go back to when America was a better place.
And we were all happy.
Whatever. That's the premise behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I went to Hebrew school as a kid. There was never armed guards.
No.
There wasn't. As I was in high school, they started to have a police presence but that was not because of active shooters, but that's because of kids fighting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like some of the kids were getting bussed in from New York City.
Oh, I see.
So there was some of that going on.
Those New York City ruffians.
No, but there was. I don't know. I was never involved with it, but apparently there were some instances.
Huh.
But if it is more than just a slogan, if it's not just Make America White Again, to go to your point.
Yeah.
Why isn't that part of it? I'm not saying we don't need security guard. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, why aren't we doing more? Besides just having protection everywhere, why aren't we going after the mental health? Why aren't we going back to the Brady Bill? These things are not that long ago. So why aren't we doing everything we could be doing to make America great again? Because, these kids, they know. They're targets.
Mm-hmm.
As a 12-year-old, I didn't know I was a target.
Yeah, Nor did I.
You worried about being bullied. Like if you got bullied as a kid,
yeah,
it meant you had a fight at 3:00.
Yeah,
it meant you were tortured in class, and it sucked.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong, but bullies never thought, and maybe they should have, that somebody was going to come in and shoot up the whole school.
Yeah, no.
Back in our day, not to sound like an old, it meant somebody's bigger brother or the neighbor was going to kick your ass.
Right.
But now, because these kids can get guns,
right?
Most of the time, because their legal gun owning parents don't do a good job of securing them,
yeah.
Or we have nuts because we're not doing, because not every state has the same type of restrictions,
right?
You know, it's much harder to get a weapon in, say, New York than it is in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And even a lot of gun owners agree with me. We should have some type of standard that's national. Like, if we had, like, a good national standard,
right?
I'd be fine with a gun owner being able to take their gun from state to state.
Yeah, if it was standardized.
If we had, as opposed to now where, like, just because they move, they have to go, or they're traveling, they have to go through all these hoops. To me, that doesn't make sense. Let's have a good national standard.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not the most stringent, but certainly not the most easy. Find a good national standard. And you know what? Give the gun owner the freedom to go. It's all one country.
Right.
Let them go from it's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
So it's part of, you know, the federal government. They should be able to go from state to state. But let's have a little bit more common sense where, hey, we can check in with people. Because you know what? We give it to vets and we give it to a lot of police. And unfortunately, they're suffering from PTSD.
Right.
And their emotional state changes after years.
Right.
Or people become depressed.
Yeah.
Mental illness comes on later on in life. Let's have a way of checking in with people. And then you worry about people's rights and everything. And so that I say, well, you know what? After 9/11, we threw all our fucking rights away anyway.
Yeah.
We let every... So you can't go to that because as citizens, we're willing to give our rights away. To the point now, we don't even question shit.
But I have to get my car inspected every couple of years.
Well, they would say a car is a privilege.
Right.
Whereas gun ownership is a right.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is... What I'm saying... I'm not saying get rid of guns. I'm not saying that because I know where I live.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if we're really going to make America great again, there were plenty of legal gun owners in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, they were perfectly happy. They had their guns. They went out there hunting. They did the shooting. There was the collectors. All these people had their guns.
Right.
We didn't have to worry about all this shit on the scale we do now.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. If we really, you know, if we're really about make America great again, then it's not just the economy. You know, it's not just more about national pride, which was a lot of it, you know, where the president would say, you know, we're getting the worst of all these deals. There's more to it. Let's really get in there.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's have something that we can be proud of, not just chest beating to the rest of the world like monkeys, you know?
The president's supporters are proud.
Oh, yes, they are.
I mean, what you're talking is a partisan thing.
Well, I'm saying that, you know, if you are going to be proud, if you're going to be portraying your pride in your country, let's have something that we can all be proud of. I mean, I think that there needs to be a turn back to civility.
Right.
And we're losing that.
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we're losing that when we have a president who's not civil.
We talked about this with Russ. People like to troll people just to get them upset, which I don't understand.
No, I don't either.
You know, but that would be going back to civility. Mm-hmm. That would be part of making America great again.
Yes, that's what I mean.
So what I'm saying is, if we're going to have that slogan,
right?
The thing, there's more we could be doing.
Yes,
that's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And to me, America was better when kids didn't have to have active shooter drills.
Yeah.
When they didn't have to be explained to them that, hey, you're a Jew or you're a Muslim or you're a Christian, whatever it is, or you're gay, and somebody's going to try to kill you, and that's why this man right here or this woman right here in the big bulky vest with the weapon is here to protect you. Now, I know it's the life we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm not saying get rid of those people. I'm glad they're there. But I'm saying, why don't we try to start to solve some of these issues, try to actually engage in the conversation instead of saying it's too soon, it's too late, taking this money, taking that money. How about if we really want to make America great again, how about we start worrying about, well, these are our kids, because these kids are going to be fucked up.
Yeah.
You are. I don't know how they're going to be able to process, because when you're a teenager, your mind is not fully developed. Your brain is still developing.
Yes.
That they have to do active shooter drills, that they have to know where to run, that a classmate could come in and take them out, that a grown man who they don't know, who's just full of hate, can, because they believe in a certain God or think a certain way, they're a target.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something wrong with that.
There's a lot wrong with that.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, I could embrace that slogan,
sure,
which I never really did, to be honest with you.
No, I don't, because I know what's behind it.
But I could certainly embrace that,
mm-hmm,
if we were really going, hey, you know what? We do have some other issues.
Yeah.
These are hard issues.
Let's work on them.
But I think everybody would agree, no matter where you are on the gun thing, whether you're pro-gun, anti-gun, somewhere in between. I think everybody would agree. It was better in the 80s when kids didn't have to worry about somebody shooting them up. It was a better fucking time.
It was, of course.
So I would say let's work towards that.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, listen, I'm glad there's security. I'm glad the schools and the places of worship are being proactive. It just saddens me that it has to be that way. That, you know, and I've talked about when I go into the, when I'm working in the clubs in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, because when you're in that stage, there's no other exit. Somebody walks in, you're a fucking target.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, there's also the point that, you know, the people who are people of color, gay people, they did then and still do have to be afraid of violence.
Right.
Personal violence against themselves because of who they are, what they believe, who they love. That should never be. That's what we should be working more towards, well, instead of embracing the people who can't accept that.
I agree. But, you know, that was just my thought. I mean, like I said, I'm glad the school's proactive.
Yes.
It's just kind of jarring. And my daughter's like,
terrible.
My daughter's like so nonchalant about it.
You know what?
But I think a lot, but
yeah.
I think.
It's been creeping up for them, so they're not seeing it with the alarm that we
and listen,
are.
And I was talking about, I think, you know, I said when Russ was here, I go, I'm just going straight blue this time. You know, where in the past I would
right.
look at it. But our superintendent, I believe, is a Republican. He was not on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was on it,
mm-hmm.
even though he's a Republican, I would vote for him because I feel he does a good job.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do that, too. I vote for people according to the job that they're doing
I
think they're capable
of
doing.
Yeah, I feel like our superintendent is on the ball because they had a lot of their budget slashed at one point, and they've managed to get new buses. Now, the budget keeps on raising, but they've gotten the teachers' raises. They've kept the sports and music programs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever there's an incident, and I've talked about before, they are very proactive with letting us know what's going on. So you got to reward stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Red, purple, blue. Sometimes, you know what? You just got to reward people for doing a good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. Let's take our first break. On the break, we're going to hear new music from Chuck Morris. We were talking about Chuck Norris before, and this is Chuck Morris with Good Life. And then we have Laser and Levi with One More Time. And, of course, you can learn more about them at deucemusic.com. When we come back, we'll talk a little psychology studies. We'll do some Nazi news. I don't know what this father was thinking. Some crazy shit's going on in the schools.
Yeah.
I don't know what some of these teachers were thinking. There were things that, like, blow your mind.
Always. So. It's just... My brain is barely packed back in.
So we'll get into that when we come back.